Now, we're going to transition into a time of studying God's Word, and it's really exciting for me because we have a special guest speaker here, Andrew Hopper from, he's the lead pastor of Mercy Hill Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. Mercy Hill is our sending church. We planted this church 4 years ago now. In 2021, we launched, and we would not be here if it weren't for Andrew and his guidance and his leadership. I don't think that's overspeak. They allowed us, Mercy Hill, they supported us, they equipped us. They let me take 20 other people with us from Mercy Hill to come here to Roanoke. They moved their lives to help us plant this church. I mean, that's a big deal, guys. Like, this church would not exist without Andrew and his leadership and his vision for church planting. So Andrew's a close friend of mine. He's a mentor. I look to him for guidance and wisdom. I don't normally do this. I don't think we've ever done this, but could I get you guys to do something for me today? Because he really deserves that honor. Like, this church wouldn't exist without him and his leadership. Could you guys stand to your feet and help me welcome him with a round of applause to be here today? Thank you, guys.
Appreciate that, bro. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, guys, thanks. Let's pray. Let's pray while y'all are standing. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word. And God, we thank you for what you are doing here at Redemption. And God, I just pray that you will continue to move in incredible ways. And Father, we pray that you'll honor the reading and opening of your word today. And Lord, it'll change lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you guys have a seat. Well, man, I certainly was not expecting that, Carter, but I received that. I appreciate that. And I receive you guys' honor. And man, it's really cool to be here with you guys. I'll tell you, I love your pastor. I love Tamara. They are just two of the most authentic, straight-shooting people that you're going to meet. And Carter has an incredible mustache. Okay. And so it's just, you guys have the total package, in a pastor. And so, no, but in all seriousness, man, I appreciate, you know, what Carter said. This is cool though. You know, the whole ecosystem of the family of churches that have been planted, of which, Roanoke is not only a part of that, but has been an integral part of seeing it move forward. You guys know how involved you have been in planting other churches, planting Port City in Norfolk, planting our friend Brody Medford and Maddie out in Waynesville, North Carolina, and even now planting helping plant Greenhouse Church. Some of you guys might remember y'all had Pastor Nico come in, and he's planting a new church in Greensboro, North Carolina. And so it's kind of cool this morning, right now, as I'm preaching. What was one small group of people who had our first ever gathering, lunch gathering as a team, actually at Carter and Tamara's apartment in Raleigh. Okay, so all those years ago, the very first time we ever gathered as a team was at their apartment, and it was a group of 15 or 20 people. Now, as I'm preaching right now, there's six other churches all across kind of the Eastern Seaboard that have been born out of that little small group that met at their house, of which y'all's church is one of them. And so, man, it's truly a movement, and God is doing incredible things with it. And so, man, we are blessed, and this church has such a place of honor in that tradition as well. And so, man, excited to be here. We're going to be diving into Psalm 67 today. So if you guys have a copy of Scripture, turn with me to Psalm 67. And for today's message, really what I want to do is try hard for just, you know, a little bit of time here this morning to help us lift our eyes from what is right in front of us, what is dominating. Some of you guys probably have felt this, maybe in college you felt this, or starting a business you felt this. Certainly, I see a bunch of young kids running around. I was getting a tour earlier, and it sounds like y'all are just kind of busting with little babies and women who are about to have more little babies and that kind of stuff. And certainly that phase of life, you feel this. But how many of you guys know what I mean when I say the tyranny of the urgent, right? Like, we understand. I mean, there's so much that is right in front of us. And we can even say some of that stuff is not the biggest stuff. Some of that stuff is not the biggest things in my life or whatever, but it is so right in front of me. And what I want to do through the word today is hopefully give us a chance to sort of lift our eyes from some of the tyranny of the urgent that's right in front of us, and try hard to say, wait a minute, what is it all about? I try to do this at least once or twice a year in our church, and I want to bring it to you guys, just a way to get at, what are we doing? What is it all about? Man, why am I here? Why is there something rather than nothing? I mean, the biggest questions in our life of purpose and meaning and why has God given me things? Right now, you just snap your fingers, you take account of your life, and you're thinking, man, God has given me things, relationships to manage. There's finances to manage. Maybe there's kids and family. Maybe there's a degree that I have. Maybe there are possessions that I have. Maybe there's inherited wealth that I have. Maybe there's talents that I have. Maybe I don't have any of those things, but man, God's given me a sharp mind, or he's given me the ability to work with my hands. He's given me the ability to solve problems. Like, why has he blessed me in any of those areas? And that's the question that we want to get at today. Man, let's try to raise our eyes up from summer's coming and kids' sports are about to wrap up, and some of you guys are just now in the throes of exams for school, or maybe that's getting, just getting over with now, or maybe the high school kids and middle school kids are just getting in that grind of right at the end of the year, and maybe you're going into a different mode of business for summer, and that's changing things. All that stuff matters, okay? But let's try to raise our eyes up a little bit and ask the question, but why has God given us the things that he has given us? What is it all for? And this is what I would tell you guys today in terms of a big idea. I would say God blesses us to bless the world. That's the big idea of our message today. What is it all for? Why am I here? Why has God given me things? He's done it for the sake of his fame, renown, and glory as it shines through his people, through their time, talent, and treasures invested in his kingdom work. He has blessed us that we would be a blessing with those blessings to other people. And this is the end of it. This is why we're here. This is the biggest stuff that we can talk about here today. April 26, 2019, the 22nd movie of the Marvel Cinematic Universe came out. Okay? And it was called The Endgame. Some of you guys may have remembered this because chances are statistically that you have maybe even seen the movie. I mean, it set the record for the highest box office attendance, highest grossing film ever made up to that point. It was quickly taken over by Avatar's re-release. Okay, that's kind of cheating, in my opinion. You think about this movie, and it is, literally the most tickets that have ever been sold. 95 million people went to see this movie in the theater. And people have said, well, why? And it's like, man, 22 movies. I'm going to tell you why. 22 movies in, hours and hours and hours and hours of investment in this MCU story, And I think the real reason that the movie did so well is because someone had the greatest name of all time. You know what the name was? Endgame. The point was, it all culminates in this. All of that story, this is the endgame. And then after they did the endgame, they went ahead and made more movies, which makes no sense, okay? But anyway, I think that's why that one was so important. It was like, what's it all for? What was it all about? Psalm 67 really helps us understand that endgame in our life today. Let me read it to you. Here's what it says. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Selah, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Now, I just want to walk through this very simply. The first thing we see here in verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us. Now, one of the things I want to talk about is, what is the end game of the blessings in your life? And listen, we are all blessed. There are things in our life, and that doesn't mean everything is going great in your life, okay? I'm intimately aware of that. There's things in my life that aren't going well, okay? I understand. Every one of us have stuff, all right? But that doesn't negate the fact that we are also all incredibly blessed. And so the Bible tells us here first, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Now, making your face shine upon, making God's face shine upon us is that moment when a father delights in a child or a mother delights in a child. It's that beaming of them. And what he's saying here is, May God be gracious and bless me in that way. Now, I don't know everybody's background here, okay? But I'm going to tell you the tradition that I grew up in. I think there was a fear of asking God straight up, bless me. Maybe you have that fear. I would actually say it like this. Sometimes people feel weird. Do you feel weird asking God to bless you? Would you ask God to bless you in terms of abundance financially with your health? Would you ask God to bless your kids' success in the endeavors that they have? Man, would you ask God to bless your leadership, to multiply it? Would you ask God to give you advancement in the things that you find to do with the work of your hands and your career and all that kind of stuff? A lot of you are probably like, yeah, I have no problem with that, man. I see that. I want the blessings of Jacob, and I want that. But others of us, I think, can get hung up because, man, we end up having this guilty conscience of, man, what am I, you know, why am I asking God to bless me? And, man, is that something that I shouldn't even do? And I just want to try to free you here for a moment and say, wait a minute. Now, there are motivational concerns that we're going to get into. What is the point of the blessing? You know, yes, I want God to bless me, but why? We're going to get into that. But first, just this concept of, is it okay to ask God to bless you? Well, look what it says. May God be gracious to us and bless us. You know, it took me a long time in my life to come to the place where I would ask God's blessing in these ways. But I do now, and I would challenge you with that. You know, every Friday is kind of a day when I really pray that God will move the flywheel of my life, okay? I look at the flywheel of my life as, man, for me, it's fitness, it's family, it's flock, and it's finance. Those four buckets, kind of everything I'm trying to do, you know, fitness, spiritual, physical, man, my family, that's my church family, brothers, sisters in Christ, also my family. Our flock is obviously my church and my career, if you want to put it like that. I'm a pastor, and then stewarding and managing the things that God gives us in a God-honoring way. And I've asked the Lord on Fridays, God, bless these parts of my life. And I would push you to be thinking the same way. God bless me. But here's the deal. Why? Look what it says. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Make your face shine upon us. This is the point, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. It's not just God bless me, bless me, bless me. Why? Because I want more. I want to live more. I want to experience more because I'm discontented, because I'm not happy, because I need X, Y, Z. That's not what it is. Bless me in these areas of my life. Why? So that I might take my one life and leverage it for your glory in every way that I can. You know, the father of the Moravian mission movement, he had a quote basically said like this, he said, I want to preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. One life. You know, some of the other famous missionaries, William Carey, he ended up saying it like this, I want to be a match that is struck, burned singularly for God's glory, and then is discarded. And it's like, hey, if we want to live that type of singular focus life, man, I want to be a bright flame for God's glory. I want it to be about him, not me. Then at that point, we have the opportunity to say, God, I want you to bless me in my life, that I may make your way known among the earth, that I can leverage my one life to see your saving power go across all the nations. Now, one of the things we have to ask, I think, here is, okay, and I've already mentioned this two or three times, we like in Mercy Hill, I don't know if you guys use this language too or not, Carter, but we put it in three buckets, time, talent, treasure, you know? And the idea is, how has God blessed you? Can you think to yourself, how has God blessed you today? How has he blessed you in time? How has he blessed you in talent? How has he blessed you in treasure? What has he given you in your life to steward? The old-time preacher would say, take a pen and a piece of paper and start writing down blessings, and you'll run out of ink and paper before you run out of blessings. And I believe that that's true today. You know, man, you pray for things. You see God do things. You know, I just thought about this, you know, for us, answered prayer, God moving in our life. I wanted to mention this because you guys obviously are kicking off your Kids Week programming and all that, June 16, 17, 18. We're the same way, Carter. We have God moves the needle in such incredible ways through Kids Week, and I would really encourage you guys, man, be that radical believer, you know, that takes your vacation time to go serve in Kids Week. You know, that type of thing is crazy to the world. It's normal to wild-eyed people that are called normal, everyday Christians in here. But this is a cool story about Kids Week, man. We've been praying for 2 years for my younger son, Benaiah, to end up getting saved. And my other kids had expressed an interest in salvation at a much earlier age than he had. But we've been praying for over 2 years. And I'll just show you guys this past year, Benaiah was baptized. And he prays, yeah, he got saved, he got baptized. He went back to the back of the room when they called the invitation at Kids Week 2 years ago, summer before last. And one of our awesome college students shared the gospel with him, and he prayed to receive Christ right there at the Kids Week, and I had a chance to baptize him. Here's why I bring that up, okay? Man, everything in my life, those children, the job, any type of health that we have, you know, I mean, just start thinking, anything that fits in those buckets, time, talent, treasure, relationships, they are blessings from the Lord. And the question is, how are we going to leverage those blessings? What are they for? Yes, it's fine to say bless me, but why? Why do I want to have a promotion? Man, why do I want to end up having more children? Why would we want to do, okay, why? Because I want to use these things that God has given me for the sake of his great name. Look what it says in verse 2 again, that your way may be known on all the earth, your saving power among all nations. God blesses us for a purpose, and that purpose is his glory, his fame, and his renown. God is the one who is big enough and mighty enough and compassionate enough and great enough that his name is supposed to go all the way to the ends of the earth. When it says nations here, it's very important that we understand nations does not mean geopolitical boundaries that someone drew on a map. Carter and Tamara, you guys would know the Neihearts as well. They're in a certain country in Africa, missionaries from Mercy Hill. And it's so funny because the three countries that they're kind of bordering around, someone, you know, carved up the map in Europe and drew lines in places where these tribes have been existing for thousands of years. And so it's like, man, yes, there's a line right there and it's two countries, but come on, it's really like one, you know, people and they're crossing borders and I don't mean geopolitical. What I mean is when this says nations, the scripture is talking about people with common language, common culture, a common people with ancestry together. These are the nations of the earth that God is blessing us in order to leverage what we have in time, talent, treasure to get the gospel to them, to get the gospel to these groups. You could say it like this. God blesses us so we can make his glory known. God blesses us so that his glory would go forth and that we could finish the task of there not being any unreached, unengaged people groups left in the world. And this is what it's about for us. This is connecting the dots. It's like, man, God's given you a vehicle, and that vehicle you finally paid off, and it's running really well, and it's a blessing in your life. And God gave you that some kind of way so that you could use it for his mission. I know that's radical. I know that's just not the way we think. We think like, well, yeah, I mean, I give a tithe, or I, you know, serve at Kids Week, and there's a little bit of my life that is about God's glory among people who don't know. And it's not that. Remember, we're talking end game here. This is everything in our life. This is our kids' sports. This is where we live. This is our home. This is everything that we have is meant to be something that God has blessed us so that we could bless the world. And the world around us is a world in which we have to understand that there are thousands and thousands of people who have no access to the life-changing gospel message about Jesus, his life, death, burial, and resurrection, and sending of the Spirit, and they don't know him. And for them not to know him is every tragedy that it would be for you not to know him, or for your kids not to know him. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know if you've really considered this. I know what my life would look like without Jesus. I would be a tyrant. I would be probably divorced. I probably would be addicted. Maybe addicted not even to something that the world would say is bad. Maybe I'd be addicted to work. Maybe I'd be addicted to success. I don't know. My life would be an absolute wreck if I didn't have Jesus and the body of believers all around me. I don't know about you. I don't know where your life would be. But for them to not know about the life-saving work of Jesus Christ is every bit the tragedy that it is for us. And when we get a chance to sing and worship and praise and lift our hands in this beautiful facility that God has blessed you guys with, when we get a chance to do that, we have got to remember at the same time, there are places where the sun rises and sets and no one there knows who to give the credit to. They could go out of their house and walk for days and months and never see a Christian and never see a Bible and never see a church. And what would that be like if it was your children? What it would be like if it was you or if it was me. When we sing, we've got to remember the nations. We do this at Mercy Hill. So at Mercy Hill, every one of our kids' classrooms has a banner on it, big banner. Sometimes it's raised out from the wall, and it's an adaptation from a few different psalms, not Psalm 96, certainly Psalm 67, and it says, we will sing in all the earth. And we do that in all of our kids' classrooms. We have multiple campuses at Mercy Hill. All the campuses do it in their worship room. We will sing in all the earth. What are we trying to do? We want them to know, man, that there is a place where everybody doesn't sing. We want to see the singing. We want to see the praise in all the earth. It was funny, though. You guys just went through an upfit here. We went through our first upfit. Carter, you guys remember this. We went through our first upfit at Mercy Hill at our Regional Road campus, and it was, I was so excited. That was my favorite thing in the whole campus. We will sing in all the earth. I love it. It was missional. And the day our kids' ministry opens, all the parents are going through. They're all walking through. Somebody comes running up to me, and they're like, Pastor Andrew. I'm like, yeah. They said the letter G has fallen off of the word sing. We will sin in all the earth. Okay, that is, actually theologically that's not incorrect, okay? But maybe not the greatest kids, you know, kids slogan or whatever. But you guys understand what I'm getting at. God blesses us so that we would make his glory known, that your way may be known on all the earth, your saving power among all nations. Now listen, in a room like this, and I told you, Mercy Hill, Redemption, all these other churches, it's such a movement, it's such a network all across, but I'm telling you, in every one of our churches right now, in every one of our campuses, every service, I guarantee you in this one too, not everybody is a Christian. I mean, this is, we, our churches are planted with you in mind, those that are seeking, and you're trying to figure out, man, what does this mean? And man, what about Jesus? And what about the Bible? And you're trying to figure all that stuff out. And if that's you today, sometimes the missionary message is sandpaper to you, man. It's gritty. And why it's gritty is because we have all been raised in a culture that is so postmodern that we believe that truth is constructed from the inside out, not outside in. We don't believe that we conform to anything that is absolute or objective. It's because we believe that we can kind of form it. Now, I will tell you, Gen Z, because they have been dosed with that so much in their entire life, they are flocking right now to things that are concrete. That because they know that's not actually true. I was sold a bill of goods, you know, that I can construct my own truth. It's not true. That's why you're seeing revivals on major campuses all over the country right now. I mean, in the secret rooms, in the back conversations, in the fire pits late at night with pastors, man, we're seeing it, y'all. There's a revival. It's beginning. I mean, I may not want to throw that word out, the R word. You may not want to throw that big of a word out, but something is beginning to happen. And a lot of times it's happening with our young people first. I think part of that is because, man, we need things that are concrete. But I will say this. You know, if that's you today and you're searching and you're trying to figure it out, and the missionary enterprise is just a sandpaper to you. The idea of going somewhere else, importing your values to them, right? Man, telling them that Jesus is what he said he is, the way, the truth, and the life, and that their culture and their lives can be redeemed, man, through him. And if we hate that, I'm gonna tell you, if we don't like the fact that we should go and tell others about Christ, it's actually because we really believe that we alone are the arbiter of truth. Because here's the deal. If what I was saying is correct, that there is a God in heaven who wants a relationship with every single person on earth, and the way to that is Christ. If that were true in a capital T sense, how much would you have to hate somebody not to go tell them that? Right? So when we say, I don't like people going to tell other people how they should live or what they should do, what we're saying is, you alone know. You know, you alone know what the truth is, or you alone know that the truth is unknowable. And it's not loving. If we really believe what we're saying, and we believe what the scripture says, that God's glory, fame, and renown is supposed to go into all the earth, his saving power among all nations. It's not loving not to go tell people that. You know, I don't know if you know this, but there was a documentary came out about this years ago or whatever, but a woman named Dawn Banchu was a trainer at SeaWorld that was killed by an orca named Tilikum. And, you know, I don't know if you guys ever dive into orca facts. Orcas are amazing animals. They're crazy, okay, in terms of what they can do and just, you know, I mean, just supreme apex predators. But here's what's crazy. Only 4 human deaths have been recorded from orcas, and Tilikum killed 3 of them. You think it would have been loving for Dawn Banchu to know when she dove in the pool at SeaWorld to work with Tilikum that he had killed 2 other people before she got in the pool? Seems like it would have been loving. But nobody told her. And everybody hid it. And so this is my point. Y'all, if we have truth, even if it's hard, if we have truth that would save someone, the loving thing to do is to make sure that it is told. And if we actually believe the things that we are saying, and if we actually believe what the Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, that we are to preach the gospel from here to there to everywhere, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the way to the ends of the earth. Man, if we actually believe what Jesus said in Matthew 25, that the gospel would go forth to the entire earth before the end comes. If we really believe what Revelation 5 says, that one day there will be a multi-ethnic multitude, a myriad of myriads of people from every tribe and nation and language. And something about God and his greatness will shine in the greatest diversity of people that have ever lived worshiping. We're seeing that now. I don't know if you guys know this, but Christianity, Rebecca McLaughlin mentions this in her book, Confronting Christianity. Christianity is the most diverse sociological movement in the history of the world. I want you to think about it for a moment. You know, when we think about Christianity, we think white, male, European. The only problem is that's not the majority of Christians in the world anymore. You know, it's every corner, it's going, man, it can't stop, won't stop. And we're getting a picture right now, a little taste of what it's going to look like in heaven to see people from every tribe, tongue, and nation come together. And we have an opportunity, listen, end game, all right, remember, to leverage our life to get the gospel all the way to the ends of the earth. Look what it says in verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Y'all, that is what God is after. He is after the praise of all peoples. This is what it is for. This is what it is all for. This is the end game. So let me get into an application here, okay? I want to jump into this application. Here's what I want to tell you. Man, God is saying, man, the joy of the world, his joy wrapped up, singing praise. We are on a mission. I could point to other places in the Bible. We can go to Matthew 28. I said Acts 1:8 already. Here's what I want to call you to do today. Leverage your blessings for God's glory. All right, that's the big application point for the weekend. Guys, I skipped one slide. There you go. Leverage your blessings for God's glory. And let me just kind of practically talk around this and then I'm going to be done, okay? But I really believe that this could be very impactful for some of us here to line up our life and connect the dots of what it's all about. And so let's talk for just a few minutes, all right? How has God blessed you and how are you using those blessings to make a difference in people's lives around you that will make a difference in other people's lives around them that will go and reverberate all the way around the world? Until every nation on earth has had the chance to hear. You know, every one of our blessings, there is an end game to them. First of all, what are the blessings in your life? I mentioned that earlier. You know, I love the old music, man. When me and my dad, when I go home to play music, we break the guitars out. It's guitars, harmonicas, and a wash stomp and a washboard and singing Amazing Grace. Not My Chains Are Gone, Amazing Grace, okay? I'm talking just regular old Amazing Grace, if some of you guys remember. And one of those old songs that was probably sung for decades in this very building, I would imagine, in a room like this, I saw 1924 was this building's date or church's date. I don't know if it was the building or the church, but you know, churches like that. It was one of those songs. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Some of you guys would remember that song. And that is something that we can do at all times. We can do it when we're facing things that are hard. We can do it when we go to bed at night. We can make sure that we name and out loud in our prayer times and thank God for things. Let's do it right now. Man, let's just think for a moment. Your job, getting into the grad program that you got into, your spouse, your precious children. Man, whatever health that you have, and I'm not saying that's all going really well, but whatever you have, your talents, your finances, you know, your vehicle, your whatever it is, your spiritual giftings, your community group, your salvation. Here's my question. Have we disconnected the blessings of God from the purposes that he intended for them to have in the world that he has put us in to move and have our being and work for his glory and his fame and his renown? We need to put those things back together. We need to put the blessings back in to the purpose and see how they all flow together. This is how the psalmist is able to say, bless me, bless me, bless me. Pour it out. Open the floodgates of heaven because I know what I'm going to do with it. I know what I'm going to do. I know the life that I'm going to live. By God's grace, with his help, spirit empowered, then I'm going to live this life leveraging those things. Now let's talk about the gospel for a moment, because when I say, hey, what is the blessing in your life that needs to be leveraged the most? What is the biggest blessing in our life? And in a room this size, I know not everyone has accepted the truth of the gospel. I know some of you are going to be seeking today. That's great. You know, the church is planted for you in a lot of ways, okay? We're excited that you're here. But for those of us that have made that decision, you know, without the gospel, where would we be? I've already told you where I would be. And you probably know where you would be. Man, the gospel of Jesus Christ has given me a rebirth. It's given you a rebirth. In our sin and in our pride, you know, we lived life before Christ. Here was our life. Bless me and make your face shine upon me because I am the center of my own world and I will use it for myself and I will make myself feel better. I will medicate. Man, I will justify myself by my works. These are the things that were characteristic of us, and that sin separates us from God, the scripture tells us, and it points us to a boundless, godless eternity. In our sin, we deserve to be separated from him, but God sent his son to die on the cross for us. And in so doing, he takes the penalty for all the times that we wanted selfish blessing. And he exchanges, in theology, we call it the great exchange, where what happens on the cross is, man, if you admit, believe, and confess before God, what happened on the cross for you is this, that Jesus took what you deserved so that he could give you what he deserved. What he deserved was a life well lived before God, no sin. Man, I'm going to be, not even be reconciled. I'm in the family of God. I mean, for all eternity. And yet, you and I in our sin, kicked out of the family. Now we're orphans. Now we're strangers of the covenants of promise. Now we are ones who are enemies of the cross. And yet, because of what Jesus has done for us, his blood covers us. And we are brought back into the family of God. And so here's what I would want to ask you. Man, that salvation that God has given you, that very salvation, think about what we're talking about here in Psalm 67. Was that blessing for you or was that blessing for him? Let me ask you. Why did God save you? Did he save you for you or ultimately, did he save you because Isaiah 48 says, they are mine for my glory? See, this the only way we can understand this sermon is to understand a big God theology. That God has created us for him, not the other way around. We're not at the center where he revolves around. Many of us need the Copernican revolution of the soul, where we realize, oh, wait, yeah, no, God's in the middle, and everything else is for him. And we were created to recognize his greatness. God created us for him, not the other way around. I know some of you, if you're not a believer, you're like, man, that's crazy. I mean, God is so into himself. It's almost like God has a God complex. Think about that for a moment. Think about it. For anything in the universe to have a God complex, megalomania, you know, that's one thing, unless you're actually God. And then it's not a complex. What it is you just being you. And that's how it is with our God. Here's my point. Why did you get saved if you are saved? Was it for you? Was it for him? You certainly benefit from it. Okay, I understand that. But who is it for? Like I said, Isaiah 48 tells us, man, that God has done these things for his own glory. I will not give my glory to another. We are his. If your salvation was a blessing that was meant actually for him and not just you, then what about your car? What about your kids? What about the awesome home that you have? What about the influence that he is giving you? You understand? And so that's what I'm trying to get us to see. Man, let us ask for God to bless us. Let us ask for his blessing, but let us make sure we're doing it with that in mind. God, all of the blessings in my life, they're for you. I'm meant to be a reflector of your glory. So yes, pray that God would increase your finances, that you might be able to increase your giving. Ask God to increase your influence, but make it about his name and not your name. Ask God to give you a child that you might raise them up and send them out. Ask God to give you a spouse that you might minister together better in this city. Ask God to bless you with more time off that you might be able to go and serve in Kids Week this year. You understand what I'm getting at? Man, all these blessings are connected to what God has given us for him. And so this is how I want to close, y'all. There's 2.5 billion people on the planet. There's thousands and thousands of unreached, unengaged people groups. And for them not to know, and for us to know, and then for us to layer on top of that, everything in our life is to be leveraged for his glory. And we know that he is glorified most when sinners turn, and that the end game for God in this world is that all of these tribes, tongues, and nations would come and worship him. Then it leaves us but one conclusion. Man, that we leverage our life as best we can. Pray, give, go. You know? Pray, give, go. Man, for some of you guys, I prayer is sort of that thing. I mean, are you thinking about the nations? Are you thinking about what God is doing among the earth? My wife is really crafty. She put this up. I was gonna show you guys a picture of this. It's our little vision board that we have with missionaries on it. Maybe you have something like this that can be seen. Your kids can see it. You can see it. You know, college student, grad student, maybe you could put it on the fridge. And it's like, man, it's a picture of Greenhouse Church. It's a picture of the missionaries that you guys have that are coming out. And it's just an opportunity to pray for them. Man, we have the call in our life to go, you know? We have the call in our life to be ones who get radical and go to the nations ourselves. You know, some of you right now, this is what I want you to think about for just 1 minute. Some of you guys, man, you're the normal Christian life is radical to the world. I want you to think about what this would look like within the next 12 months of your life, okay? Everything in your life is a blessing to be leveraged. Okay, well then, use your finances, use your time. Think about what this would be like. You're working in an office, and in that office, man, everybody's one-upping each other, and you guys are close to Smith Mountain Lake, and it's fun, and there's, you know, people at the office. What are you doing on your family vacation? And it's like, man, we're going to the lake house. We're doing jet skis, you know, we're bringing the nanny up there so we ain't got to worry about the kids, and we're going to, you know, eat really good, and we're going to, and somebody else, I'm going to one-up them. No, man, we're doing the all-inclusive, you know, whatever. We're going to the Dominican Republic, we're doing this, we're doing that, and everybody's one-upping each other. Nothing wrong with any of those things. That's fine, man, go do that. Enjoy things to the glory of God, totally. But I just want you to imagine, and then someone looks at you and they say, man, what are you doing this summer? I saw you were off for 10 days. What did you do? And you're able to say, man, I took my oldest child and we went from train to train in the most remote regions of India with our mission partners, sharing the gospel and training pastors. And we got super sick and the trains didn't have air conditioning, But we met this guy, and then you're like, hey, look on my phone. Look at this dude. We met this guy. He lives in a remote region of northern India. This dude has planted a church, and they got 20 people coming, and they just baptized somebody from this. And you just see people around you with their eyes kind of wild, and they're like, dude, you're weird. And it's like, yeah, man, we are. We're living for a different mission. We got something else on our mind. There's a different end game for us with all of our time, with all of our talent, with all of our treasure. And so listen, God blesses you like crazy. I'm going to tell you something. Man, enjoy those blessings. Like, as a good father, how many of us, we give our kids things? We want them to enjoy it. It's so funny. Like, I'm preaching big mission, big mission. You've never met a more pro, go buy the lake house at Smith Mountain Lake and use it for your family and extended family and make sure missionaries can stay there when they come home. I love that kind of stuff. Like, you'll never meet somebody more pro that kind of stuff, right? So I'm not saying don't enjoy it. What I am saying is, man, everything in our life needs to be leveraged, including our finances. You know, pray, give, or pray, go, and give. Man, the mission of the church runs about as far as the generosity of God's people takes it. That's what I've learned over years. Over years at Mercy Hill, when our church grew, people getting baptized, we're sending church planters, all that kind of stuff, what would happen is the church would grow and the giving would go up. And I think, and what people think is, well, yeah, on the back of the church growing, the giving increases. To my point, which is, yeah, that's obviously true. But if you look at it the other way, you'll see that right before there is growth, it is preceded by an uptick in giving. The next wave, the next church plant, the next thing we're doing for the kingdom. And so I would say that too. Hey, time, talent, and treasure. Man, how can you leverage what God has given you for his mission? Let's pray. Father, I come before you right now, and Lord, I just pray, God, that we would have an incredible response, communion, altar, prayer. Lord, how can we leverage our lives for the sake of your great name and your kingdom? We have a lot going on. God, many of us have coaching ball, and there's kids, and man, there's summer plans, and all that stuff is so good and right and beautiful, and we thank you for the opportunities that we're going to have, but Lord, I pray that we would connect them to the ultimate mission. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening with us today. We hope that it was an encouragement to you. But you know, we don't see this as a replacement for gathering with other believers in a local church context. So if you don't have a local church, we would encourage you to plug in with one wherever you are. And if you're in Roanoke, Virginia, we'd love to invite you to plug in with us here at Redemption Church. And you're welcome anytime to gather with us. But you can check us out online at our website, redemptionroanoke.com. You can look for other content or resources there. But thanks again for listening.